And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the House of Wellness. I'm Larry Emder. We're going to help you get well, stay well, live well, and look fabulous. Michelle Bridges and Gerald Quigley. Good morning, team.
Good morning.
And good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Larry.
Now, guys, dry July just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, this is a good thing from so many different angles. We're going to be talking to Jeff Munro today, National Policy Manager, Alcohol and Drug Foundation, about Dry July. But Gerald, from an internal health perspective, this is a great thing, isn't it?
So many parts of your body will thank you, Larry. Mm-hmm. Things like your liver, your blood sugar levels will stabilize, your cholesterol levels will probably drop, you will sleep better, you'll concentrate better. Not a bad list, is it?
That's a good list, and there's more to that list. Michelle, from a health perspective, I think because I've done this Dry July before, and what happens is when you say, okay, I'm not even going to have a glass of wine with a dinner on a Sunday night, it triggers everything else in your life as well, and you go, okay, now I'm going to get healthy on all other fronts as well.
And I'm going to start looking after, get some exercise so on, and as soon as you have a couple of drinks, sometimes... Mm. Mm. The resolve dissolves and you kind of go, oh, whatever. And and before you know it, it's 2 a.m. and you're lining up for a kebab.
that is after you had pizza at 11 o'clock. But that's to the extreme, I suppose. But what happens if because so many of these health kicks and you go, I'm going to have a cheat night on a Friday night or a cheat night on a couple of beers on a Saturday night. But those beers or a couple of wines can actually bring things unstuck too, right?
Yeah. So the next morning you wake up with a hangover and you're like, oh, I can't even be bothered going training. And you know what? I'm just going to need a bacon and egg roll to get myself through this morning. And, you know, so it's kind of like gets a little bit spiral out of control in a way, or can just push you over the edge to sort of, you know, get off track of your health.
Yeah.
So I guess it's really about keeping it in check and keeping it in balance. And when you do a month like this, as Gerald says, you can really get a lot of great benefits for your body.
It's really
training.
A detox, Michelle, isn't it?
Absolutely. Really? Absolutely.
It's a very simple detox, and so many parts of your body say, thank you.
What effects would you want to feel in the first week or two, Gerald? If you were saying, okay, I'm just going to not have a beer or not have a wine and do all the other things that I hear Gerald and Michelle talk about on the House of Wellness, like, you know, a lot more water, a lot more vegetables, a healthier life. How quickly would you feel benefits?
Look, I think often within days you'll find you sleep better. Depending on, you know, we're not implying here that you've got to be out of control and then suddenly stop everything.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a couple of glasses or a glass or two of wine at night can actually build up over time. Your body's got to work hard to break it down. So sleeping better is probably, and the common feedback I get is that you think better, you think more clearly.
Mm. The thing I like about it too, the Dry July concept, is that it gives you a chance to really sharpen your skill on saying no to things.
Sure, bit of self-control.
Yeah, taking back control.
That really gives you a sense internally of, I'm the one in charge here.
Yeah.
I'm the one that says yes or no, and I'm saying no for a month. And you find that after that month, I've had a lot of people say to me, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, right. And a lot of support around it too. Once you clock into this Dry July website, then it's a whole community feel. Now, can I do this, guys? Do you think? I don't drink a lot. We might have a glass of wine or two on a Sunday night with dinner. I don't drink beer. I don't drink a lot, and I try and stay healthy. But if I... I can do this, right? This
of
is
course.
For a great cause.
Mm-hmm.
Dry July supports people affected by cancer. It is for a great cause. I think I should do it.
I definitely think you should.
Yeah, we will support every little movement forward, Larry.
Will you?
Yes.
All right. Well, you just
we'll
said that on the radio.
The edge.
You,
we'll talk so you'll off be the edge there. On a Sunday morning. Yeah.
I'm committing, Michelle, to be round at your place to take you on an early morning run every...
Oh, okay, that's fine. We can do that. Well,
I would like support from you guys and all of our listeners, in fact, because it is raising valuable money that goes to a terrific cause. So I've just logged on. I've okay. just committed to this. Okay. So you can go to dryjuly.com, yes. and then it gives you the option to search for a participant. You can okay. put in Larry Emder, E-M-D-U-R. Yeah.
And you've used your real name?
I've used my real name, okay. as opposed to Mickey Mouse when yeah. I travel. and you can support me in a small donation or a large donation, however you want to do this. And, mm-hmm. of course, all funds directly to Dry July, which is a great cause. And if you help me through, that'll be great. We can make it a little House of Wellness project, right?
Yay! Okay. Go, Larry. All I'm right? so Good. Proud of you. Well yep. done.
Well done.
Right. Well, talk to me in a month.
Okay.
We'll see how we go. And we're going to talk to Jeff Munro shortly, in fact, and get all the ins and outs of this fantastic campaign from its humble beginnings to the amazing work that it's done so far. Now, Gerald, also today we're going to be taking calls for you, of course, 131-873, 131-873. And we're going to be talking about sinusitis as well.
Something that is very common, and you travel a lot and you probably get the odd blocked nose that hangs around and sometimes gets infected. So we've got some simple solutions to reduce the risk, and if you happen to be a chronic sinus sufferer, to make a real difference into your quality of life.
All right. And Michelle, will you take us through some fitness tips for the middle of winter? And it's so cold at the moment, but people still want to move.
Of course. I've got plenty of tips for you. And of course, if anyone wants to ask a question, bring it on.
Mm-hmm. One of the great trainers in Australia, one of the great personal trainers. So Michelle, standing by to take your calls also. 131-873. We'll be talking to Dr. Brad Mackay about seasonal affective disorder. It's a real thing, and why we're more likely to feel low at this time of the year. We'll be talking more about Dry July. And, of course, all of our callers go into the draw for the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. Give us a call, 131-873, on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Well, it's well and truly winter, and that means things are getting colder and a little more miserable. Most of us might suffer a bit from what we call the winter blues. But some Australians experience something a little more serious. It's called seasonal affective disorder, aptly abbreviated to SAD. Right? That makes sense. We thought we should find out a little bit more about this condition. Joining us on the line, Dr. Brad Mackay. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for talking to us. What exactly is, I mean, SAD is such a good name for this. What exactly is seasonal affective disorder?
So it's really a subgroup of people who suffer from depression or bipolar disorder, but they really get a lot of their symptoms and start to feel quite depressed around seasonal changes, or particularly when it's cold and freezing in the middle of winter, like it is at the moment. So that they'll often feel like a loss of concentration. They will have a lack of motivation. It's hard getting out of the house. They'll often become a little bit more isolated if they're not wanting to catch up with friends. And then they'll just hibernate in their house for a while. It's much worse in other areas of the world, like Sweden and Scandinavia. But still, a lot of people do find that it's a problem getting going and you're really getting outside into the real world around this time of the year.
Dr. Brad, it's Michelle here. I just wanted to ask a question with regards. You mentioned that it might be more common in those that have got things such as bipolar or suffer from depression.
Mm.
Is it likely to occur just in those of us that feel relatively well during the summer months, but then just really feel flat in the winter months?
Yeah, so we used to sort of diagnose seasonal affective disorder, so as doctors going, oh, yep, this is its own entity. These days, the DSM-5, our Bible for psychiatric diseases, that was changed back in about 2013 to sort of say, well, yeah, like this is sort of under the umbrella of major depressive disorder rather than seasonal affective disorder just by itself. So sort of a bit of semantics going backwards and forwards. Mm. But yeah, it's really, when we're talking about seasonal affective disorder, it's really when people are feeling really, really low, really down, really depressed. And they're crying every day, just trying to find it difficult to get off the couch even.
Yeah, Brad, it's Gerald here, and thanks for chatting to us about this. It's really important, isn't it? Because you just wonder, first of all, why it took so long for those DSM guidelines to be changed. And secondly, do you think there's been a bit of scepticism about the existence of SAD when it's so relatively easy to perhaps prescribe an anti-anxiety medication or things like that without looking outside the square?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do say, oh, yeah, I've got seasonal affective disorder, and they're just a little bit blue in the middle of winter, and they don't like the cold. And so I think it's easy to be a bit flippant about the diagnosis.
Sure.
And certainly, whether you've got feeling a little bit down over the winter months, or if you've got like a major depressive disorder, there is a fair bit of difference in that. But yeah, some of the hints and tips that we use in medicine are very similar. So whether somebody has just the blues, or if they've got something more major, just trying to have self-caring and making sure that you're looking after yourself are sort of similar to what we say to people.
Cool. Jids, it must be a hard one to define this time of year, because I guess historically, when you say, you know, we're not out in the sunlight, we're not moving around. We're going to talk to Michelle shortly about exercising or the lack thereof in winter when people, you know, put the tracksuit and the Ugg boots on and stay by the fire. But also, you're eating differently as well, aren't you? So these are things that can play into it. So we're not exercising, we're eating more, we're not feeling that great sitting on the couch all the time.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will just stack on the weight over winter. Right. So we tend to have a lot more fatty foods around this time of the year. It makes us feel a little bit warmer and gives us a bit of emotional eating to help us distract from the cold outside. But yeah, like a lot of people who are having a lot more fatty food over this time of the year just hate themselves when they're getting into the summer months. They've lost their normal body and they've gained an extra one that's going around. Mm. And so it's really important to have like fresh, healthy food and keep on top of it rather than just sort of eating blocks of chocolate on the couch watching Netflix.
Yeah, Dr. Brad, I hate even thinking about people out there doing that. I'd love to think that they could get a little bit of exercise in, and I know that everyone goes, oh, she's banging on about exercise again, but you would know, being a doctor, that the research is out there on movement of the body and feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, so there's so much evidence that's around. So often if somebody is presenting with depression or anxiety, one of the first things we say is, yep, make sure that your diet's okay and get out there and exercise. And we know that if people aren't moving, if they're exercising frequently, then yeah, there's something, it's not that magic to think about it, but yeah, it's so important to lift your mood. I often say if people are having like a lot of stress and they're getting really fidgety, they've got a lot of emotional energy that's sort of going into having a tremor or feeling like their heart sort of beating in their chest from panic attacks, often that energy can just be used up by going for a run or having some exercise.
Yes, exercise takes you out of your head. Brad, that's where you're spending all that time is in your head.
Brad, do you think the day will ever come when your doctor will prescribe exercise, not just say go and get exercise? Mm-hmm. It's a bit like that throwaway line, just go and lose weight. And certainly I hear a lot of people who say, I wonder what that means. Get some exercise. What does it really mean?
Yeah, well, there are some doctors who will actually write a prescription which will say, okay, now exercise for 30 minutes 6 times a week. And then give that to the patient. And then I think they probably look at the doctor and go, where do I get
yeah,
it?
Right.
So I think there's been an increasing change in how general practitioners will talk to our patients. So we're being a little bit more definite about it.
Sure.
Because it's very easy for us to in a short consultation, to say, yeah, exercise. But yeah, the guidelines really suggest 150 minutes per week. It doesn't have to be crazy. It's sort of like walking until you're feeling a bit puffed is what are often the guidelines will recommend. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be a marathon runner. But yeah, you need to do more than just strolling around the block.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Brad McKay, thank you very much for joining us this morning on the House of Wellness. We do appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
talking about seasonal affective disorder there.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
All our callers today go into the draw for the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse, 131-873. Any questions for Gerald? Any questions for Michelle? Good morning, Anna. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning all. Gerald, I had a hip replacement back mid-April.
Yes.
And I think I actually came out of rehab with a cough.
Yes.
I have had two lots of antibiotics. Nothing seems to work. It's just very phlegmy. I think I've gone through 10 boxes of tissues since. I was just wondering, is there a vitamin or a tonic or something that you could recommend to give me that bit of a boost?
Are you on, Anna, any medicines for blood pressure, just routinely?
Yes, I am.
First of all, have your pharmacist check those, because there is a group in there called an ACE inhibitor, and if you are taking one of those, they are notorious for causing a cough. And no matter what you do, the cough won't stop until you have that change. So that's the first thing, have that change. The other thing, and I speak about it often to many, many people, is saline, Anna. If you can irrigate your sinus canals, which we're going to be talking about briefly soon,
right?
It stops muck going down the back of your throat, which in turn causes this cough that drives you crazy.
Yes.
Hire a pillow at night. Larry's favourite remedy, chest rub on your chest and on the soles of your feet.
Yes.
Old-fashioned, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
But please have your hypertension medicine checked by your pharmacist to see if that's involved.
Well, that's strange because it was actually changed while I was in hospital. The doctor that saw me said, oh, your feet are very swollen. I'll change your blood pressure tablets. And I thought, I hadn't thought of that.
Yes. Look, a lot of the medications we take routinely for individuals cause a range of things. Swollen legs with one particular group of blood pressure medicines is relatively common, as is the cough, which is not common. It's notorious. So go and have it checked.
Oh, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling, Anna.
Thank you, Anna. And Gerald, we should take this opportunity to talk more about sinusitis, I suppose.
Well, these are our sinuses, Larry, two main ones, above our eyes and below our eyes, and they are essentially hollow tubes, and that gives us a timbre in our voice. They're there to give some support to the structure of our face. But if they get blocked with mucus, they can become inflamed and infected and incredibly sore. So bending down to do up your shoes becomes a nightmare because of the pressure. So I've mentioned saline, so important to use if you are a sinus sufferer. Anything that's spicy makes your nose run. The principle here is not to dry things up. It's actually to open up drainage canals. So saline, steam, ginger, onions, chili, garlic, all of those things, soups and casseroles with spices, they help turn the corner. There are supplements that are designed like that, horseradish and garlic. You can buy those. They work very, very well. Another couple of hints, stay away from cold food. Anything that's cold can, in those particular people, block up their sinus canals. So warm foods, if you're going to the fridge or going to the freezer, try and not get a lungful of that cold air as you open the door.
Right.
And inhale steam. When you're having a cup of tea or coffee, just take a few minutes at the start to inhale the steam. Simple things often make a big difference to those with sinus infection.
Yeah, that sounds very manageable indeed.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Vince, good morning. Welcome to the House of Wellness.
Good morning.
Hi, Vince.
Doctor, I rang you, going back about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yes.
I have a complaint called plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis, yes, Vince.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the diagnosis, I think, is wrong because I've had this so long, and people tell me that people only get it for short times. Now, just listening to that lady before, I was just wondering whether it is my medication that I'm taking, because I've had 2 lots of open heart surgery, and one in 81 and one in 98, and I am on Endep,
yes,
and Atacan and Warfarin.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bicor.
Now, Vince, your pharmacist, in combination with your doctor, can review those medications. A couple of things. Plantar fasciitis can hang around for years. So it's not a short-term thing. It's a structural defect of the foot. If you don't have a podiatrist involved to really confirm that diagnosis, I recommend that. Podiatrists, particularly sports podiatrists, manage plantar fasciitis in sports people all the time, particularly footballers early in the year when the grounds are hard and they prescribe orthotics for them. They give them some specific lifting and lowering exercises, which will fix it, but there's a couple of issues involved there for you. So have your medicines reviewed. Get a sports podiatrist's opinion and follow their instructions, and you will get over it. But it does take time, Vince.
Can I jump in for a little bit of relief there?
Yes.
If you, just for a little bit of relief, a golf ball on the floor and rolling your foot around on that, it does give just a little bit of that.
Massages the plantar fascia, Michelle, doesn't it? Which is underneath the foot.
All right. Vince, thank you very much for your call. Time for one very quick call here. And Gerald, I'm going to bring Jean in because last time you were talking about powdered magnesium, I got on this.
Yes.
I went straight to Chemist Warehouse on the way home and started taking it before bed. It's terrific. Mm-hmm. But Jean, you've got a question about that.
Yes, hello.
Good morning, Jean.
You mentioned that if you take magnesium before you go to bed in a drink, that is the help. But is it one level teaspoon that you take, and must it be in water, or can it be in warm soy milk?
Now, if you enjoy warm soy milk, Jean, you can certainly use that, but dissolve the magnesium powder in a little water before you start, so a little warm water.
Right.
It will dissolve quite quickly, and then add as much of the soy as you wish.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Good. Okay. And I do take one tablet in the morning containing calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3.
Yes,
and
that's
A2.
For your bones. Yes, good.
So is this all right? Or
yes, it is.
Too much?
Well, if you have too much magnesium, Gene, you tend to get some loose motions. So since you're taking that magnesium in the morning, why don't you take just a half a teaspoonful before bed to help you sleep, to help reduce the risk of night cramps, but just to release the tension in your body.
All right, Gene, and I'm going to take that advice as well. Thanks, Gene. Hope that works out for you. Thank you very much for calling in. Now, in just a moment, we're going to be talking about Dry July, and as you may have heard at the top of the show, I've just signed up. So if you want to get on there and sponsor me in the next couple of minutes, I will give you a shout out on the radio, because we're just getting this campaign going. All money, of course, goes to support people affected by cancer. You just go to dryjuly.com, and then there's a search section where you just put in my name, Larry Emder, E-M-D-U-R, and even if it's the smallest donation, the first couple ones here, I'll give a mention to on the radio in a moment when we talk to Jeff Munro about the fabulous initiative that is Dry July.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
I just signed up for Dry July about 40 minutes ago and I feel better already. It's just around the corner is Dry July now in its 10th year. It's a fantastic fundraising initiative where people go alcohol-free for a month in exchange for family and friends and radio show listeners to donate money and help a great cause. Jeff Munro is the Alcohol and Drug Foundation's National Policy Manager, and he is on the line. Welcome to the House of Wellness, Jeff. Hello there, Jeff.
Hello, Larry.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, we're going to talk a lot about Dry July. We want to know all about it, but it comes from a very humble beginning. Talk us through how it all started.
Yes, it started when people were thinking about how could they do something to help their own health and help other people as well. And we know that alcohol is a major concern for many people. It's a major, it detracts from many people's health. And the notion was that perhaps we could stop drinking for a short period of time and raise some funds and perhaps put that money that we would normally spend on alcohol to a good cause. And so Dry July asks people not to drink for the month and to donate that money and to raise funds for cancer, for people suffering from cancer.
Yeah.
Nice, Jeff. It's Michelle here. How are you?
Hello, Michelle. Good to hear from you.
Yes, I wanted to know... for those out there thinking perhaps to do Dry July, how much is too much if you are drinking normally during the week?
Well, it's a good idea not to drink every day, Michelle. And the maximum amount per day is 2 standard drinks. If people are drinking every day, no more than 2 standard drinks. And it's a good idea to have at least 1 or 2 days alcohol-free. The problem we now know about alcohol is that alcohol can affect people quite badly, even in small amounts. And there is even now the Cancer Council has found a link between drinking alcohol and cancer. So unfortunately, the more alcohol we drink, the greater the risk of cancer, apart from all the other problems that alcohol can lead to.
Jeff, it's Gerald here, and congratulations once again on the initiative. It's just started from such humble beginnings, but it really is quite remarkable. I've got a very personal question, Jeff.
Yes, Gerald.
Do you enjoy a glass of wine at night?
I do on some occasions, yes.
Okay, all right. No, that's fine. That's fine, because, you know, it's important, isn't it? You've got to personalise the whole thing. And when we take responsibility, as we chatted earlier, that's the way you get results. And you can encourage your friends to do the same thing. And then there's this amazing worthwhile cause as well. Where does the money go, Jeff?
The money goes to various hospitals around Australia, and it is used there to support people who are suffering from cancer. So in some cases, it provides transport transport for people who are needing to go to hospital
yes.
for treatment.
Good.
It provides facilities in the home. It's used in a whole lot of ways to relieve the problems and the suffering that people with cancer can have. And also it supports their families as well.
Mm. And that's important because, we, as you said before, we now know that actually alcohol can initiate some cancers, particularly oral cancer, pancreatic cancer and these things. So it's all tied in so well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I should add breast cancer is another one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol is implicated in. That's a really important one for women, of course.
Yes.
We now, because breast cancer is rather common, we now know that alcohol can facilitate breast cancer. So it's important that those of us who do drink, that we keep a tight control of how much we drink and how often.
Sure.
Jeff, I just want to ask you this because there seems to be a lot of conflictive information almost. Well, we read the other day, it must have been a week or two ago, you know, that the new research is out and a glass of wine a night is good for you. You know, we talk about this on and off, and do you find that there's information out there that you are, from the Alcohol and Drug Foundation's perspective, battling all of the time?
That's a really good point, Larry. Yes, and I'm sure the public get confused
yes.
too, because there's continually research being reported that says, you know, glass is good for you. And other research saying, such as from the Cancer Council, saying that every glass of alcohol can increase our risk of various cancers. The problem is that alcohol affects every organ in the body. It can affect every organ badly, depending on how much we drink. To take up your point, Larry, about the reports that it can be good for you, it has been reported that it can lower cardiovascular disease in people, if a very small amount. Mm. Of course, that would only apply, if it is true, that would only apply to people at risk of cardiovascular disease or heart disease, and that tends to be older people. It won't do anything for anyone who isn't at risk of heart disease. The other problem is that if we drink too much, then it actually damages the heart. So it's very hard for the public to get a grip on that. And there's also a suspicion that the research that reports that it's good for people is not comparing apples with apples. It's actually comparing healthy people with people who are unwell, and some of those people who are unwell have given up alcohol because they've been drinking too much. So I think we need to be quite sceptical about those claims.
Jeff, I just want to jump in here real quick and ask, everywhere you go, there seems to be alcohol, and I've done a month without alcohol before, and as soon as you do that, you realise very quickly that
yes,
every social
yes.
event, every social get-together, is there's always alcohol included.
Yes, indeed. And I think that stands out for people who take up Dry July. They suddenly become very aware
yes.
of just how, you know, the social pressure on people to drink.
Mm.
And it's important that we support people who are doing Dry July or who don't drink, because many non-drinkers complain that even their best friends continually press drinks upon them, and that's not fair. It's not a good thing.
All right. Well, Jeff, here's the thing. I've signed up for Dry July. I think it's a terrific idea. I've done it before, and I felt great at the end of it. I really did, because it triggers a lot of other things. You want to eat healthy. You want to move around a bit more. So all you have to do to support me, for instance, is head to dryjuly.com, log into, you know, participants. You can write Larry Emder, E-M-D-U-R, and then you can donate some there if you want to support me through this. But, Jeff, thank you very much for that. It's a great chat. It's a great initiative. And maybe you need to come back and talk to us in a couple of weeks' time just to see how I'm going.
And thanks to the House of Welcome for the support, Larry.
All right. Jeff Munro, Alcohol and Drug Foundation's National Policy Manager, talking about the all-important Dry July. We'll be back in the House of Wellness right after this.
This is the House of Wellness for Voost Vitamins. Get your vitamin boost today with Voost and Betadine Anesthetic Lozenges.
Larry Emder, Gerald Quigley and Michelle Bridges. Michelle, this is a terrific thing you're involved with, this new partnership with Kelvin Grove Public School.
Yeah, it's a public school and it's amazing. It's a really athletic school. They've asked me to come in as their nutrition ambassador and help them, their sports excellence program and their dance excellence program with nutrition. So I've got a dietitian on board and we're doing recipes and showing the kids and the parents how to put together these great meals.
It's great because there's so much focus on that now, isn't there? Particularly with the kids addicted to their, you know, I was going to say their tablets, but of course I mean their devices and their phones and PlayStations and what have you. Get out and get moving.
I mean, it's a very athletic school, so it's really based on nutrition. They wanted to get that right.
Something we might see rolled out along other schools?
Yeah, look, this is the first of a four-year program with Kelvin Grove, and I'm hoping to work with other schools across the country in helping with their nutrition programs for their students or their athletes.
Great stuff.
Well done, Michelle.
All right, time for a couple of quick calls here on the House of Wellness. Chloe, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello.
Well, Chloe, how can we help Chloe?
I just wanted to ask about Helicobacter pylori.
Mm.
My partner has it. Yes. We're just wondering what the best thing for it to heal.
Has your doctor mentioned a thing called triple therapy for it, Chloe?
Triple therapy.
Triple therapy. So that's a combination of a couple of antibiotics and an acid-reducing pill. It comes in a pack.
Yes.
And
I tried that.
It didn't work?
It did, but it's just healing the gut now.
Okay.
The best thing to heal the gut.
Okay. Once that's been done, here's a few suggestions. Olive leaf extract, Chloe. Yeah. The olive leaf extract does make a difference to just restoring some of that gut integrity. And Manuka honey is the other thing which works well. That's New Zealand Manuka honey. Important it be from New Zealand. That's the original stuff. And the probiotic, which is very commonly available, called Lactobacillus. So Lactobacillus is the recoloniser. And they are the three things that he can use in combination.
And you can't heal H. pylori with...
Well, we all carry H. pylori, Chloe, but every now and again it gets out of control. That triple therapy that he's had, in theory, should have fixed it. Now, he may be required to do another breath test to work that out, but in the meantime, he can have those things anyway because they are considered effective natural solutions to H. pylori.
Okay, and that'll keep it away.
Yeah, that's, of course. Yes, it will.
Thanks, Chloe.
Good on you, Chloe. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Chloe. Have a great day. Now, Michelle, we want to talk about fitness tips in winter, right? Because people are going, I just want to stay inside warm with my Uggies on and I don't want to exercise.
I know, I hear. I understand. So a couple of things that could be enticing would be a nice hot swimming pool or at least warm swimming pool. Mm. There's plenty of them around. Or maybe even Bikram yoga, which is a really, really hot room. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, keeping you warm over winter. Making sure that you go to bed early. It's dark. It's getting dark early. Eat early. Go to bed and get up early, which sounds terrible because it's cold.
Yep.
But it's easier if you've been to bed early. Rug up, get up, and go out for a walk. It's a great way to actually kickstart your day. Mm. Particularly if you work inside and you don't really get a lot of time outside and it's dark before you get home.
Yeah. See, I've said this with you before as well, and because I start on the TV, not too early, but we're in there about 7:30, and I find if I get up and have just a move around, even if it's just to the end of around the block once, I'm so much better at work.
It makes a huge difference.
If you've ever seen the morning show, you know that's not often. But
no, it makes a huge difference. Yeah. Maybe making sure that you get movement in your day. So while you're brushing your teeth, do a couple of squats. While you're defrosting something in the microwave for 1 minute, do some lunges or push-ups on the bench for a minute.
Yeah.
Get yourself a buddy. It's always handy if you've got someone to sort of keep you on track. DVDs are great. If you don't want to leave the house, you can do a workout DVD in your lounge room.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Just there in your lap. And the other thing, if you don't want to do it, and there are people listening who aren't up to a home workout, right? But you can sit in front of the TV or stand in front of the TV and just walk on the spot, right?
Every time there's a commercial, get up and do something. So for the entire duration of the commercial, run the hallway. The next commercial, you've got to do squats. The next commercial, you've got to do sit-ups. The kids love it because it becomes like a bit of a competition on who can do the most. They always win. And it gets you moving. Another thing is we sit at our desks for long periods of time. So perhaps set an alarm on your clock to get you up every 30 minutes and just go and maybe get a glass of water, have a stretch and then come back to your desk.
I do, Michelle. I set an alarm for every, I do it hourly and my alarm on my phone goes off on my desk if I'm sitting there for a morning and I'm up every hour.
Yeah. Is that right? And what do you do in that time? How long does it take and what do you do?
Just go for a walk round, go just, out on the balcony, stand in the sun for a few minutes to stop the SAD.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. Some stretches,
just
yes.
Getting up from the desk.
Make a cup of tea.
Okay. What else, Michelle? One more quick one.
So it's
looking for, isn't it looking for opportunities to move?
Yes.
Because the opportunities are always there to not move.
That's right.
To not move.
And I call this informal activity. So formal activity is going for maybe a workout or a run.
Yep.
Informal is as moving as much as you can. So if someone needs their bags moved, help them. If someone needs you to help them move house, do it.
Yep.
If you see the stairs at the airport, get on them instead of the escalator. Just every opportunity to move is money in the bank.
Okay. And Gerald, as we always say, from a medical perspective too, because we know people are listening who maybe haven't exercised in a year or two or 10, and maybe we can inspire somebody to get up and get moving. But if that is the case and you haven't moved for a while, you want to have a chat to the doctor too.
Of course. Yes, it's a good idea. And don't go too hard too early, but just, I think the magic word, Michelle, isn't it, is just move.
Move and consistency.
Yes.
Right. Now, guys, I'm trusting as we close the show that you will be there to support me during Dry July.
Yeah, we've promised.
You're coming round to my house every Sunday night. Michelle, you're there Monday morning to walk me around the block.
Yeah, and give you some of my workout DVDs.
And Gerald.
Yeah. And I'm going to come around and check your bin.
Yeah, you're going to come around, Gerald, and drink my
check
wine,
the
so
bin.
I can't.
You're going to check the bin.
Gerald, our $100 gift voucher goes to.
Yeah, that goes to Chloe, who rang for her partner with his tummy issues. Chloe, you are the winner this morning of the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse.
All right. Now, next week we're going to be talking about dry mouth, Gerald, as well, right?
Yes, we are. A very common issue, and it's really often the cause of many digestive issues. We've had a call today on H. pylori and reflux things. Dry mouth's in it.
All right. We'll talk about that next week. Gerald, quickly, thank you very much.
Michelle
Bridges,
thank you
for helping us through.
Thank
I'm going to get up. My alarm's going off, so I've got to get up and move around now. Thanks for your company on the House of Wellness.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. Bye.